If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey guys, Stacey and Christy here. Hope you're very well. Before we get stuck into this week's podcast...
Yes, we have some exciting news to share with you, and that is the fact that there is an opportunity that we... we'll meet you, and we're very, very excited about it because we've been banging on about wanting to meet you guys for ages.
Yes, we are doing a live podcast. It is called the Thinker Girls Posse Podcast, which means that everybody that listens to the show is going to be in the hot seat. You can join us in Melbourne on Saturday the 18th of November or in Sydney Saturday 25th of November. Both shows start at 8 p.m. and you can find all of the ticket information at our Facebook page.
Whoop, whoop. Get ready, cause here I come.
Blah, 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 blah. It's that time of the week again.
What does that mean if I'm addicted to my vibrator?
All the thoughts you're thinking, but not saying.
We are two radio chicks who talk shit on this podcast about thoughts you're thinking, but not saying.
It's filled with so many amazing, so many inspiring, talented, hilarious chicks. Ain't nothing gonna hold me down.
Get ready, cause here I come. Coming up this ep.
How much can you fight for someone who doesn't want to be fought for? How much can you try to make something work or try to help someone who doesn't want to be helped?
Thinker Girl, the podcast with the Thinker Girls, Stacey June and Christy Mercer.
Hello. I've got a new intro because I've realised after listening to the podcast a couple of weeks ago and I haven't listened to it in forever, I reintroduce what is already introducing what the intro is.
Yeah,
so now I need to think of something to say. To begin this show.
I think what you just said, saying hello, is good.
Oh.
Because, like,
g'day.
Chances are, by this point, you know you're listening to Think You Got the Podcast.
I'm Stacey June.
I'm Christy Mercer.
Oh, that's new.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it's
new.
Very official.
It's territory.
It's very...
babes.
Whoa.
Do you know what it is?
Everything's new right now, Mercy.
I know, it's so new. It's like when you're used to holding, like, your boyfriend or somebody's hand a certain way, and then they flip their hand so yours is on the top, and you're
PS,
like, what the fuck? Like, it feels so freaky.
Sometimes I'm okay with the child parent hand with my boyfriend. He's not into it.
Wait, are you talking about the couple's hold where your fingers are interlaced?
I do a couple's hold, yeah, but... okay, I'm going to tell you something really dorky, but...
The other night, I was like,
I just was excited to be home, like clearly, and he lives there now, so it's quite exciting. So I was like,
welcome to your life.
I'm like, let's do everything before we go to bed together. So that means go to the kitchen, put a glass in the sink, walk to the lamp, turn the lamp off, walk, I'd already brushed my teeth, so walk with him, and I held his hand like a parent, like I was like, all right, now we'll go into the bathroom and you brush your teeth and I'll keep holding your hand. Then we'll turn the light. Like, that is what I did recently in my own house.
You guys, she's in love.
Yeah, I really love that guy. I'm so...
it's so nice.
Yeah,
it's very nice to hear.
It is nice. How is everyone going? We are two radio chicks who talk shit on this podcast about thoughts you're thinking but not saying. Thethinkergirls.com.au is where you can find all of the episodes we've had with... so many amazing women. It's been over 4 years that we've recorded this show. Someone suggested the other day we need to define the two podcasts a little bit clearer. People get very confused.
Okay. Well, this is more of a D&M that you'd have over a vino on a Saturday night with three of your besties. Mm. And then the radio show is more like with, I don't know.
Pow, 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 today.
Pow, pow, pow.
Yeah, yeah.
Kiss, we're on kiss, yeah. Kiss. It's more like that.
That's
just
right.
With more bells and whistles.
Yeah, so many.
And short and sharp. It's
yeah,
like a...
get in and get
it's
out.
It's like a... yeah. It's like,
yeah,
a,
it's like a quickie.
Just
yeah.
Real.
Yeah, yeah. Shoo, 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 shoo in there.
Whereas this...
but just not up the arc.
This
not
is...
up
no.
Because that's slow.
No.
No one likes a short and sharp.
You don't want to be going in there too quick. You'll be
this
ready.
This is slow and passionate and you take your time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, see, much. I knew you'd like
that. I love it. Sounds like love
making. And heaps of kissing to start.
Yes, yes. You know, you may have heard a giggle because we don't usually have a podcast guest in the studio,
no,
which PS,
on
I think we need to change for next year. Audio quality, blah, blah, blah. Sales, you know, you want to. You want a commercial?
Anyway, schedule a meeting for that, babes. Here is not the time. Jesus Christ.
But that is true. I give her too much information. I hear you. But this particular giggle that you can hear, oh, we are just so rapt to have you on the show. I tell you what, and we say this a bit, but we have had a dream list for maybe since we were in regional radio.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and you've been up from the very beginning. She has a new single. It's called Not Too Late. So she's doing the rounds, and we've got her for a long time. We are talking about Ricky Lee. Hello, Chicky.
That's so exciting. That's so nice.
It is nice.
It's nice to feel wanted.
Yeah, because...
You are wanted here, that is for sure.
Well, you have a list, and obviously you've got... Yeah, great. They've got a good following. We'll, you know, really bounce off them. But then you've also got, on top of that, people you genuinely would love to lol and have a yarn
You're
with,
on the
I
legit
think.
List. You're, yeah. You are legit.
I made a legit list.
Not that there's two... Not that there's different lists, but I just mean...
Come on. Sometimes we've had people on the show because we're like... Maybe it'll be good for our listeners.
Yeah.
More so than going, we'd love.
But in our hearts, it's legit.
Yeah.
Well, no, I find that a lot of the time when you're doing, you know, when you release music and you kind of go around and you talk to everybody, I find it's really hard to talk to people that actually ask good questions, that actually dig further than just... what's your new song about? What did you do? How have you been doing the last couple
of
years?
We read some of the nominations for the Arias a few weeks ago by the time this probably is released. And I said that actually in front of that big scary room because the music industry is pretty scary. And I said, look, we're not your conventional nights music show. We love and support Aussie music our way and we're thrilled to be here. But it was nervy because, you know, we've got this kind of – we go up against on our radio show real – you know, hits. Like, this is what it is. This is who, you know, music. And we still love to have people like yourself in the studio, but we like to talk about your life, like, and how, I don't know, how you come to that song, which is exactly what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, and I think that's what's kind of missing in Australia, those kind of in-depth, deep, meaningful conversations that kind of bridge the gap and push the boundaries out and kind of have those uncomfortable conversations.
Welcome to the
welcome. Here we are.
So excited. Yeah.
Because that's the thing. In the end, it ends up feeding back into the music stuff anyway.
It does.
You know, like there's...
Of course, we've got interest.
But there is nothing better than driving home from work, listening to a song and then knowing where it came from.
Totally.
It's a different connection when you're like... When the Calvin Harris and Taylor Swift stuff came out,
you were like, she kind of wrote it or someone wrote it. I was like, I just kept listening to that song and I was...
It changes
hearing
it.
Things in
all
a different way.
All this different space.
Totally. Well, I grew up obsessing over music and trying to find... It was before social media. So you're trying to find as much as you can about the artists and the songs and watch every interview that you possibly can.
I would always look at the back too. Special thanks.
The special thanks. You want to see who they're like kind of giving a nickname to.
Yes. And, oh my God, you would froth over all the Kylie Minogue covers.
Well, I know everybody. Like her best mate, her assistant, I knew a manager. I'm Kylie obsessed. So everything. And Leanne's still with her, PA, PS.
I love that you know that.
I saw Kylie's PA in Bali and lost my mind.
Did you approach her? How do I justify
that to people I'm with? I'm like, that's Leanne. And they're like, who the fuck is Leanne? And I'm like, Kylie's PA. They're like, Kylie who? I'm like, Kylie Minogue.
I was like that. I've seen both. I saw Beyonce's makeup artist and I was like, oh my God, it's so John. And then I saw Mario, Kim Kardashian's makeup artist coming out of the same hotel as me. And I was sitting in the lift and I all of a sudden just went really weird. And my husband was like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Why are you being such a weird? I was like, it's Mario. It's Mario.
How do you not know?
How do you not know that's Mario?
You're at star power if people are looking for your
people. And then getting starstruck by your people.
Yeah,
that's big.
Yeah.
That is big.
Very, very good.
Love it.
All right, let's start the show, the podcast. We each bring a gem to the table. But this week, you've got a gem that, as we spoke about before we introduced, that we want to create an episode around because we think that the stuff that you're going to talk about really relates to both of us individually in very different ways and very similar ways in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And it is all really linked around addiction this week. And so we're going to turn Philip the Duck off, who's usually our timer that spots in between topics.
Okay.
And we're just going to...
Riff.
Yes.
Yep.
I was looking for a
music
term.
I was right in your brain.
Thanks, because sometimes you make me hesitate because I'm not in, like, no music like you. Because Christy sings and she's very musical. And I love music, but I don't know the technical.
Super poetic.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't even say anything and you're just like, stop looking at me like that. And I'm sorry that is my face. But I was right in there.
So yeah.
Let's riff. But you'll tell everybody why, you know, your gem essentially and what you want to bring to the table this week.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, I've been getting asked, and you're talking about that you do all these interviews and people don't really ask you deep questions. And I've been talking about my new song, Not Too Late, and what it's all about. And, you know, it's on the surface, it's about starting over. It's not too late to start over again. But really when I wrote this song, there was something deeper that I was thinking about and people that I was thinking about when I was writing it. And, you know, in our lives, we all have to face huge decisions and big challenges and big hurdles that can sometimes be pivotal moments in our lives. They can set us completely off course or bring us back into line. Mm. And they're terrifying. Those times are terrifying. And when I was writing this song, I was thinking about my own...
It's called Not Too Late we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about my own struggles but mostly I was thinking about a friend of mine who is in a relationship with somebody who he's kind of been with for about 5 years. And initially their relationship was great. And you kind of started to learn about this guy that he'd been in rehab, in and out of rehab when he was younger with pretty heavy drugs. I think it was actually heroin. Mm-hmm. So it was really hardcore. And he'd kind of found his way out of however lost he was and he'd kind of dealt with his demons, but they'd, a couple of years into their relationship, they were having the time of their lives, but all of a sudden, I think he started, his demons were really fighting to kind of come to the surface and come out. And he...
And that's what people don't understand as well. I call them demons too.
Yeah.
Because I think it's not choices.
No. It's kind of hard as an outsider to watch somebody go through that. If you haven't had somebody, I've never had somebody close to me that's struggled with it or gone through it, and to start with, even just as my friend would come to me and talk to me, and I'm going, well, he's just being a dick.
We're just telling him to stop.
Yeah.
Or just
can't
give it
the
up.
The party days are over, or the cyber days, you know.
But it started to become really clear to us that he wasn't just wanting to drink all the time. He couldn't help it, and he's really struggling. And to watch their relationship just deteriorate and just absolutely fall apart it's heartbreaking, because my friend himself is quite lost, and he struggles himself with things, but he's trying to be the one, the glue that's holding this relationship together with somebody who's not even putting in any effort. And it was.
I think that in itself is such a hard thing too to watch, because your friend is obviously trying to help his partner go through what they're going through, but then also sometimes that means you forget to look after yourself.
Totally.
So watching him not only, you know, like see, you know, his other half and the person that he loves go through that, but then also forgetting to care for himself and caring for the other person.
Yeah, and then he goes into a downward spiral of his own miserable. But the thing, like, he got to a point where he just, and you know, how much can you fight for someone who doesn't want to be fought for? How much can you try to make something work or try to help someone who doesn't want to be helped? And he really just he has been struggling so much with it. And you know, they're married, so when you get married you make a vow for better for worse and sickness and in health, and you want to be there for that person.
And he also knew and that I think
who
you've
he
got
was,
that is amazing in itself, because your friend sounds like an incredible person. There'd be so many people that would just walk.
Yeah.
You know, the second they found out, God, you've been in walk the other way.
Mm. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you then choose your life to be completely about, you know, instability and all the kinds of things that come with addiction.
And absolutely sidelining your own happiness for years and years and years to try and help somebody. And
so but Not Too Late, did something come back? Like the song from this story, is it kind of like a plea almost for him to know it's not?
Well, I kind of took it as a hopeful thing, that hoping, you know, because my friend has been holding on to hope that one day his partner's going to turn around and everything's going to be okay, and that something's going to click and it's all going to fall back into place the way that it was and be as great as it was before. But And that was at the point it was when I was writing this song. But now it's actually gotten to the point where it's over for the two of them, and he's kind of it's scary because with addiction it's such a deep struggle, and you know he doesn't know if he's going to come home one day.
Mm.
He doesn't know if he's going to get a phone call and be told he's in the hospital. We're about to let him go. You know, like every single day he wakes up with that burden, and it's absolutely broken him. And this person that used to be vivacious and loving and caring and giving and the life of the party is now a shell of who he used to be, because it's almost like he's lost himself in trying to find his partner. And it's just,
I'm a daughter a form of addiction. And as having that person in your life is something that is just constant instability.
Yeah.
It can also have thoughts where you go to the dark place, but when it's functioning and when things are on the outside pretty good and for years at hand, things can be really good. You know, that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand with addiction. You don't get cured. It's something in your personality. Yeah. I have an addictive personality, and there'd be, you know, like addictive personalities everywhere. We're not calling it what it should be, you know. And often it wasn't really labeled the way that it was because, you know, we've spoken about so many times on the show this idea of, you know, an addict or an alcoholic or these kinds of pictures that people put on means that you're homeless with a brown paper bag on the street. That's not what addiction looks like. No. It can be everybody amongst you at work, people that are great people, because they are. It's not who people are.
Yeah.
It's an illness. It's an illness.
Yeah.
So the kind of idea that it's interesting because I've worked really closely with this person and we're very good mates but it is that kind of setting boundaries and having an idea of going within and trying to build your worth, to know what your worth is first and foremost, to be able to continue to have them in your life, because otherwise it's just a one-way street a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And to be able to say no and put boundaries up. Because I think when I learned that putting boundaries up and kind of not always answering the phone at certain times of the night or, you know, not being sure.
Does that at first feel hard? Because from the outside you could feel almost selfish in doing that. Because
it's not just hard.
It would be heartbreaking because you want to help.
Yeah, and you also don't know the result. You don't know by that one call or that one kind of thing.
What
you don't
means.
Really know what's going. And as much as it might not have ever been, you know, evidence to be that dark as your friend has gone through, you never really know with people that suffer from addiction. You'd never really know what day are they in today.
Yeah.
You know? And you can still have someone that's been 5 years completely on the right track, but there's always, especially as a child of it, there's always this like rockiness and instability that you have that you never know anything for sure.
Because there can always be a trigger that gets flicked and progress is just out the window for a while, you know?
And so it is, setting up those boundaries. And I think what I've learned is setting up the boundaries being the best thing ever, because I've been able to be there better than I can. Romantically, I don't know how, you know.
Yeah, I think it's family, because you can kind of...
You can switch off in a way.
You can kind of switch off because you're not necessarily living with them.
Of course.
With a partner, it would be so hard because I just think about the stories that my friend would tell me about waking up, and he would literally go out into the living room and there would be blood everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And not know how.
He would just find him laying in a pool of blood somewhere because he's gone out, he's bought 5 bottles of vodka, he's smashed them, and he's just tried to destroy this house and himself. And in a relationship, it's hard to escape that, and you can't not answer the phone because they're right there. And I don't know how he's been able to cope with it.
As a friend, how do you support that? Because
it's so hard.
You're thinking of your friend first and foremost, but then a lot of his...
Because my friend is like my family now.
Yeah, but then a lot of his happiness would come from seeing his partner happy too.
Totally.
So then...
And I've seen how when they first got together, my friend just became the happiest he's ever been in his whole life. And now he's the most miserable he's ever been. And as a friend, to start with, I didn't quite understand that addiction was something that he had been dealing with. Mm. I thought it was just a new thing, but it wasn't until kind of a year ago that he really told me, no, he was like a heroin addict when he was 18. And to hear that, it kind of changed my approach anyway, because I was constantly like, get out of there. He's doing nothing but destroy your relationship, and he's sabotaging everything that you guys have kind of
and
built
it's so
together.
Hard because you know,
but now you have to be a lot more sensitive now, yeah. because there
and
is
he's a person
totally,
and
no
it's complex.
One chooses to live their life like that. No one is going, if I have a choice today, I'm going to smash 5 vodka bottles and end up bleeding for my partner to find me.
Yeah.
No one is choosing that.
No, and I think the thing with him is that there are really deep-seated issues that he really hasn't dealt with yet, and that's why he's turning to alcohol and drugs to deal with the emotions, and he's not getting the help that he needs. And you know, they live in America, and it's even harder to have. I think in Australia, mental health is so much more of a priority for our citizens, but in the US, it's you kind of just get swallowed up by the system over there.
I can't even imagine, because even with the stories that I've been telling, like it's never anywhere near a point where someone's in a pool of blood.
Yeah.
But then also, I think in this country, we have this really subtle alcoholism thing that is completely full and rife of addiction, but it's very accepted. It's very much accepted
as a way
of life.
It's almost like a part
of
culture here.
Yeah.
The binge drinking.
So when you look at some stories, which a lot of the time in my situation, people would look at it and go, there's nothing wrong there. Like, are you joking?
Yeah, just go out on a Saturday and get smashed.
Yeah, like, and he might, you know, what do you mean? Like, oh, my parents were like that. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm calling it because I want the truth. And you know, I'm not going to just turn a blind eye when... And it's hard also in the subtleties.
That's the hardest part, though.
Because it's not as hardcore as some stories, but the subtle stories are... Just
it's the
as
subtle
in their own way.
I think it's the subtle consistency of it. And as somebody that's struggled with addiction, I have spoken a lot about on the radio show and on this podcast about really having a lot of demons when it comes to alcoholism. And you know, and I'm a blackout drunk. So I mean, never to the point where I'm waking up in a pool of my own blood, but I reckon maybe, I don't know, 1 in 3, 1 in 4 times where I would drink in a social situation, I would wake up and have absolutely zero memory of what I did, who I spoke to, where I was, and it's just fucking terrifying.
And is it just you get past a certain point and then
always.
it's all out war with the bottle.
And you know
at
what?
That point,
like you said though, I think, and it's not until I started working on it and I clocked over 12 months sober, not a sip of alcohol about, I think, maybe 5 weeks ago.
Yeah. Woo, that's amazing. Good on you.
Yeah, thanks. I think, but I do think what you said earlier about your friend's partner not really having an idea that these are underlying issues that you're not dealing with, so then it's coming out to play in other areas.
Yeah. And people have different demons. So it's alcohol, it's gambling, it's work.
Yeah.
You know, it's sex.
Food.
Yeah.
There's so
food.
Many different ways. But until you start looking at it deep, I was like, I remember I've spoken to Stace about it over years going, oh, well, you know, and were you the one that you're like, maybe this is something, that maybe there's something going on that is so subconscious. You know, that it's not like, oh, I was crazy bullied as a kid or my parents didn't love me or, you know, these.
It can be the tiniest little thing.
But there was so much underlying, and it wasn't until I started going to a therapist and really delving deep, because I'm like, I've got a good life. I've got a partner of
what
like
have I got to
8.5
about?
Years.
Yeah.
I'm all right in a financial position. I love my job. I've got a good family. I've got no reason to have these issues with alcohol. I just think I have one too many, and then I go over the edge and I become a bit aggressive and I wake up and I don't remember anything. And surely there's nothing else. But it's amazing when you go deeper and deeper in those elements of kind of self-worth and not trusting yourself. And after being sober for a year, there was this element of me where I was like, shit. There was this fear where I thought I was almost scared to drink again.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
And it was such an amazing exercise over that 12 months because it taught me so much about self-confidence and self-worth. And there were a lot of the things that I struggled with, being in social situations and feeling a bit uncomfortable, feeling a bit out of sorts and feeling as though I had to be the party friend that was a bit wild so I would drink to compensate.
And is that why you would take the drink so that and you could feel that confidence?
That's why. Because I imagined that my friends wanted me to be that person. No, they didn't. That was terrible. But... So 2 weeks ago, I had a drink for the first time in over a year. And
it's shocking, I think, everyone, because it was been this big journey.
Yep.
And then Chrissy had said on air, I'm an alcoholic, I am a binge, you know.
Yeah.
It's all defined really clearly It's all defined in the way these things are. It's all very... categorized, I should say. So if you've called that on air, then it's like,
you're never drinking again.
But that was it. And if you do, you're fucked.
I was like, oh, I tried vegan for a month, and then now everyone's like, why are you eating meat? I'm like, oh, no, I just said I was going to do that for a month. It's the same.
You can't change your mind. It is crazy. Yeah. There was so much pressure on the day. So it was grand final day. I was in Melbourne with my friends, right? And I'd said to myself, and I journal every night, and I was reading back through because it was like reaching out 1 year
was a big
thing.
Have you always journaled?
Right?
Or was it after?
In the last year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, through working this, through this stuff. I've just found it super therapeutic.
It really is.
And I had been writing it soon where I was like coming up to a year, and I was, because everyone would ask like, do you think you'll ever drink again? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, don't know. I'll get to that. But then I reframed the way I was thinking about things. I was like, I'll have a drink again at some point, just not really now.
Yeah.
And then it changed to, I'm just going to get to the 12 months and then I'll kind of reassess. And it's, I didn't want to put pressure on it to be like, maybe I'll make it this big occasion
like
where
a
maybe
party.
I'll wait
I'm having a drink.
I'll wait till
Chrissy is so internal. I realized the last few days, even, like, we still learn so much about each other. But as we were, I'm like, bleh.
Yeah.
She's like, I feel so exposed. I'm like, that's because you fucking know what is going on in my head. I have no idea what's going on in yours.
But I really relate to that. I'm a lot like that too. I internalize everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And I think that's just like, it's amazing as you get older how much you start to learn about yourself when you can actually. And I was going to ask you, did you know that you had that problem, that it was a problem to start with? Because like growing up, the way that you grow up and the way you learn to deal with things and you protect yourself unknowingly as a kid, And you become someone that internalizes.
And I'm such an avoider too.
Confrontation, but I'll walk away from everything. I will like back out of a conversation if it's uncomfortable. I don't face things. And I really relate to that you internalize the everything. But from the, it's just.
I think I knew.
So then when she drank, it was like, what? Because there'd be no real talk
what?
Of it.
Do you know how?
Of her thinking she'd drink again.
I felt.
I had a beer on Saturday. I'm like,
what?
What the fuck?
Yeah, I felt.
And I was like, good for you. And I'm intuitive, so I'm also like, I read her like a sister. Like, it's crazy. So I thought you would, but it's still a shock. Like,
I felt so nervous, and guilt is a big thing that I've had to work through a lot also, where I almost felt like the next day, I'm like, do I make an announcement? Do I tell my family? I'm like, oh, I had a drink. Like, and that's something I'm like, that's my old way of thinking where I'm like, no, this whole exercise, this whole 12 months has been about getting in a place where you trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have – like I'm accountable to myself and I know I'm in a good place. And that whole entire day I was toying with, so internal. And that's why I just stopped drinking for a while because the self-dialogue was fucking exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a drink? How many have I had now? I'll have a beer.
Because you
how
did
much
at the
longer?
Beginning try to
yeah,
pull
and I
back.
Tried and it didn't work.
And
yeah,
she tried to how cut, did you – How many drinks did you have?
I had 4 drinks.
Yeah.
But even
and
then.
And what in your head, what's going on?
So I got, the whole thing, I was like, it was all day. So I'd been out from midday and it was at 10 p.m. that I had a beer. So that entire day. And I just thought every time I was going to the bar, I would just, as I have been doing for 12 months, everyone's doing rounds. Oh, can I just grab a soda water? Or I'm feeling frisky, I'll have a Red Bull. And then I thought, well, next time I go to the bar and if I really feel that again and I want to have a beer, I'm just going to order it and I'm going to be okay because I'm going to be okay. I trust myself. I've done the work. I don't have one sip of booze and then automatically go back to where I was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
No, and you also need to explore. Like I think everybody, what we live in and my kinesiologist said behind endometriosis, I'm going through that at the moment, was that women live in excess. So it's all or nothing. We
oh
really
my God, you're
struggle
speaking my language.
With
totally.
The balance. And it takes so much more courage and strength to kind of play around and try and find
but that's
a balance.
What
you might not be able to. Maybe you'll have a blowout. You'll go back. You don't really
but
know.
That's
but
how
you have
I
to
felt.
Dance.
In a way, I felt like avoiding alcohol altogether. And I know there's been a lot of justification over the years. So for me, it's really important to separate what is justification of shit behavior and what is actually being truthful. And I thought that if
hard.
Yeah, it's full on. And I think living and continuing to be sober out of fear, because it's all about like you can have the same external, like you can still be sober, but if the reason I'm sober is because I don't fucking trust myself and I'm so terrified, that is also not a great place to be in.
Because that can also fall away very easily.
And I'm not trusting myself and I'm in a place where you're like, you can't have a drink, otherwise you'll revert all the way back.
It's kind of self-sabotage
a little
bit.
But that's where I started to go a bit, where I was like, if you... Yeah, it's the all or nothing thing, right? And then I was sober for a little while, knowing that I was doing that out of fear a little bit. So I ordered that beer and I held it for about 5 minutes. And my friend said, "You sure?
Shitting myself.
You're right.
I know, right?
We got 2 Coronas."
Lol at the Corona. Like, that it was a Corona.
I was looking
I was
over.
Like, what'd you get? Like, you
I got
know,
a beer.
Like,
did you get a pale ale or something?
I got a freaking Corona. Like, and I was
quite refreshing.
I was
very
looking,
refreshing. Did you have any lime in it?
Yeah, lime
I did.
Or lemon.
I had a lime.
Okay, great.
I was looking over my shoulder because I was thinking, I feel now such a responsibility after sharing, you know, this whole journey on air.
Yeah, that's true.
Where I thought, do I have to say out loud on the radio show that now I'm going to drink in case someone sees me?
Sees you out and then calls you out
for it. And then takes a photo and then says, you're a liar.
Yeah.
And it was a moment where I was like, nah, you got this. This is okay. It's your life.
Because if you're making it, if it's a you thing and it's a you decision and a choice that you're making for yourself, not for everyone else, not thinking about everyone else. And if you believe that you've got that under control, you don't have to feel that guilt of
what if
someone going to think? What if somebody takes that photo and what if someone calls me out?
Yeah.
That you've got to kind of that guilt must be.
And I didn't feel guilty.
I felt awesome. Really good.
Empowered
I had,
almost.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I had like four sips and I felt tipsy.
Well, really? Yeah. That's I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
It was. So you had two Coronas and you had four Coronas in total?
I had two Coronas and I had two gin and tonics.
At their other place.
See, so, a gin and tonic would have me on the floor crying, even just one.
Really? Yeah, you got to be careful with gin.
Yeah.
That's right. But so I'm loving gin.
But
right
I was like spacing.
Let me tell you. Yeah.
With an IV.
Yeah. Seriously.
So that was over the space of from 10 till 2. So I was like, in my head, I was like, I had one drink an hour. And that was still, everyone was in the thick of it. Like, so you're still saying, nah, I'm good, I'm okay. And I still, for a few rounds, got a soda water.
Yeah.
And you've got to be careful, you know, because your girls are big drinkers.
They're big drinkers. So and they can handle their alcohol too.
So could I when I was there. Like, it changes, I think, as you get older, because I'm a little bit older. But the interesting question that you were asking before, Ricky, was, about did you always think you had a problem, or how do you know, or did you think, because it was interesting, because of a kid of addiction, I think I would overanalyze myself. So when I would drink, look, I had definitely episodes and carried on and moved to London and would just smash myself silly. But all of those instances were me trying to find my boundary with it and exploring. Yeah. And I was obviously in an environment, big family, big drinkers, love kind of a good time, love a dance, all that kind of stuff. So it was so hard to find the balance of going, I am not my, you know, I am not the same as this particular family member. And I also don't have to hide. Like it took me a really long time to be able to get an understanding of who I was in that situation, because most people have gone out and gotten blind and fucking hated themselves the next day. Yeah. And then I'm like, does this mean I'm like,
my own family as well have, I grew up and I don't have an addictive personality. Mm. And, but so I sat back watching.
I feel
my
so
family.
Envious.
I feel very lucky because there are so many people in my family, but I, you know, watched my parents even just partying all the time. And I grew up, I know that feeling of resentment and watching them and thinking you're an embarrassment and I hate what you're doing and I hate the way you're acting and I hate the way that you forget about me when
you're
this
off.
Is happening.
And
I hate the way that this makes me feel. And there's all of those feelings. And I remember they were so strong growing up. And I think I had a real issue, you know, in my late teenage years when I was kind of becoming a woman and I was really coming into myself. I had real problems with the way that they were living their life. And
did that make you go the opposite?
It totally did.
See, my brother went that way and I went, oh, but this is cool. The life of the party, I went
that
way.
No, and I'm still the life of the party. Like, I have a drink and all of that. But I watched the way that they, like, drugs are just not, I can't, it's too, I have a really grossed out attitude towards drugs because I've seen a lot of it in my life. Yeah. But I grew up watching my family and saying I never ever want to be like you. Mm. And I think that's why when I drink, of course we all have our nights where we go out and we get hammered. Yeah. But even when I drink, I never get, most of my friends, I think they've only ever seen me twice, get to that point where I'm the messy one. I'm never the messy one. I'm always together.
So you don't like that feeling of being out of control?
I just don't like, it's less, it's more that I don't ever want anyone to look at me through the eyes that I ever looked at, you know, my mum and my dad when they were getting hammered. And I like to be in control. I like to still be myself and still be able to have a sentence. And I think as well, because when I go out, there are people that come up to me and they want to take photos or they want to talk to you.
That's another element too.
I never want anyone to walk away from meeting me going, oh my God, she's a trash bag.
And I'm a bit the same like that with even people that might not recognize, like no one's recognizing me, like they're recognizing you. But my point is, I think I also grew a little bit more dignity too. It was like this kind of, I like to go out and have I fucking will argue and have great, robust kind of conversations with the next person.
Yep.
But it's also, there's something nice on the weekends where it's just nice to also sit in a bit of grace. and be totally. A bit of chill. Like, and rather than it being so hardcore.
But as you get older too, do you find that you, like, I just want to have drinks at home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
I don't want to go. Like, I don't remember the last time I went to, like, a bar.
I'm into it. I'm so into it. And I fought it for so long, especially when I was single. Yeah. I was single for 5 years.
Yeah.
And
you love the Saturday night.
You can't just stay at home.
Oh, my God.
Saturday night.
I felt like I couldn't. Yeah, and then I would say to Christy, I stayed at home on Saturday night by myself, had pasta, a glass of red wine, and was in bed by 10:30.
Yep.
Or even in bed by 12 and watched whatever I wanted.
Yeah, it's kind of
like,
the best.
It sometimes. Is like a fucking... I love it.
Oh, I mean, that's when I got really...
And I love having people over myself, still.
But when
like
I, get, when I got really fat, it was when I was single and I was just at home eating like all the pizza. I would order... I would order like three large pizzas, and then I'd get through the second one and be like, I don't really feel like pizza anymore. Maybe
girl,
I'll have some Thai.
Yeah,
then
girl.
I would order Thai, and they would ask how many people, and it was six people. It was six enough for six people.
What the fuck?
But it was just for you?
That was just for me. Enough.
Well,
try
we
for
might
six
have
people.
To do another episode on food.
Yeah, oh, sorry, that's next week, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. We start a new podcast, Getting Deep with Ricky Lee.
Yeah, sorry.
There's a real market for this shit. I'm serious.
That is Philip, who's wrapping up the entire episode. It's
I love
been
it.
Very different and very unique.
I know.
But thank you so much for opening up and allowing that conversation to happen.
Of
I
course,
think a lot of people. Like to listen, not maybe say, but like to listen
totally,
to bits.
Totally, and I think when people can hear, like I listen to podcasts as well, and I when you hear that other people are going through what you're going through that maybe you can't even vocalize yet, you don't even necessarily know.
Sometimes yeah. You don't even know.
No.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's important to kind of put a mirror up to yourself every now and then and check it all out and analyze what's going on and how you're feeling and why you're feeling a certain way and
oh we are
it's one of the hard but that is one of the hardest things to do I think
well as women I think it's hard to look criticize
at
yourself
and
because
be honest
you're constantly yeah, being
fighting.
Barraged with yep. criticism and judgment and all you want is to not have that and the most important criticism and the most important judgment I think has to come from yourself.
I'm feeling in that place at the moment like I'm really ready to be especially into next year a bit of a student again. I've done so much self-work on myself and I feel like I got to the end in numerology. I think they say it's 9 years or 10 years. I don't know, there's a number, it's not a decade, but it's basically the same in kind of Chinese horoscope. They think it's like a 9 or 11 year kind of decade.
Yeah,
and I felt like I did so much work on myself and got to the end of that decade and kind of was feeling like I not knew at all, but was like, hey, you want advice? I got all this advice. And now I feel like I'm beginning again.
That's like a nice like thing.
It is, but it's like, what the fuck? I thought this was done. It's never done.
It never
it's
is.
No.
Yeah.
But I find that it's like a challenge. I find it really exciting.
Well, creatively, it's going to be schmick because that's the beginning. Because even our boss is like, girls are getting a bit preachy. Because we, you know, we're like, hey, work
we know
on yourself.
Everything.
Yeah.
Listen to us.
And our whole brand was built on kind of being inquisitive and asking questions.
But you
questions
can't be inquisitive if you think you know the answer.
And I was getting, I got to that end bit and now I feel like I'm at a whole, I've not felt this, I don't think I've felt this fresh slate in, like 6 years, like
and
a long time.
But this that's often awesome. Happens with us. Look, like we're very much on the exact same page, but in very, very different ways.
Oh, good
like
Lord.
I'm feeling the exact, I'm feeling very similar in the sense it's like this new bit, this new chapter and starting again with, you know, like in a really good way from a good place, but then very, very differently.
Yeah, totally. I'm like in on Saturday night. Chrissy's single now and out.
But, I've started.
Oh, well, you've switched your.
Yeah, we've
but
swapped.
But I've started going out. I've started going out now because before I didn't at all because I didn't trust myself.
Do you find it? Do you find it scary to be going out and kind
dabbling,
of dabbling like, and being out?
I think I just have to keep telling myself it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
Just because I've now had a drink doesn't mean that every single time I go out I have to
drink.
Woo,
let's get drunk!
Because I know how to be sober.
Yeah.
So I can
go. P.S. It's so overrated that level.
Oh,
like,
I
it's
hate
so
that.
Overrated.
Yeah, I totally.
It's quite overrated.
I mean, although,
getting to this like
says the girl that wants to drink every weekend.
I like alcohol a lot.
Yeah, she does.
I'm not drinking at the moment because I've fucking got some health bullshit going on. But oh, like, just I would drink everything too.
Yeah,
like, all there's of not. You know, people are like, oh God, I'm not really a rosé girl. Oh,
I'll pass it over here. I'll take it.
As long as it's nice.
Yeah, are you gonna finish that?
I'm at this point of quality. You know, like quality. If it's. But yeah, it's it is that balance bit. It's I feel comfy in that at the moment, but yeah, I who knows.
But hashtag trust.
No, that's it.
Hashtag the trust. Yeah, trust yourself.
Trust yourself.
Trust yourself, girl.
This conversation all began because of Ricky Lee's new single, Not Too Late. It's on iTunes if you want to grab it, and make sure you check her out. Give her a follow on the Ricky Lee. If you are finding us through Ricky Lee, say hi too. Hello. Yeah. That's really nice. Instagram and Twitter is the Ricky Lee handle. If you want to listen to any of the other shows, thethinkergirls.com.au is where you can find those. Throw us a review. We'd love to hear what you think. Mm-hmm. Honest thoughts only welcome.
Guys, I'm going to go back and binge listen to absolutely everything.
That's the best.
I feel like you guys are like my new best friends.
Yeah. We all live in the same town. Yeah. This can happen.
Let's make it happen. You'll have a Corona. We'll make sure we get you soda waters in between our bottles.
I'll have a soda water in between too. It's probably best for me as well.
Yeah, okay.
So we all just, you know.
Don't make me lost your size, guys.
I'm already thinking of the cocktail bar we can go to.
For me, it's all about opera bar. I love opera bar.
People write it off because it's touristy, but it's very.
That's what I was going to say. But risky. It's touristy. Yeah.
Oh,
like, touristy. It's epic. It's just epic.
Oh, no. You bang your elbows out and you get a spot and you sit on the edge of the water.
Don't be afraid.
No, you don't leave.
All right. Well, see you there. All right, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Were you part of this convo and want more? Join our Thinker Girls posse on Facebook, Instagram, or thethinkergirls.com.au. Gonna move the mountain. Gonna touch the sky. Thinker Girl, the podcast with the Thinker Girls, Stacey June and Christy Mercer.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.